today's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, what else could we look at this week than the TT, of course, surely the most iconic event ever associated with the Isle of Man. We'll dive straight back to the TT special of Tuesday, June the 5th, 1934. And very forward-thinking, why not a TT for women? Bearing in mind, I don't think we saw women in the TT until a bit later. In any case, the views of Miss Marjorie Cottle, a well-known rider of the day. The piece starts, "We have never taken kindly to the idea of a women's TT ourselves, pin your colours to the mast, but we thought our dislike of it might have been due to an ungallant prejudice rather than rational disapproval. We put some straight questions, therefore, to Miss Marjorie Cottle, and were very much interested to learn that England's most famous woman rider shared our views and, indeed, expressed them for us with considerable emphasis. When we put our title question to Miss Cottle, why not a TT for women, we half anticipated that such a consistently successful woman rider would so ably defend the idea we should be converted by her arguments. But we were wrong. Miss Cottle's views on the undesirability of such an event as a women's TT are uncompromising. Here is the gist of them. My first objection, Miss Cottle told us, is you cannot be sure that all your entrants will get machines that are definitely suited for the job. It is only the few who can get proper machines who are going to be comparatively safe. But, we remarked, almost every manufacturer produces TT replicas, which, so far as the machines themselves are concerned, are identical with the actual racing models. Why should not our women competitors be able to put up a good show on machines of this kind? Because, Miss Cottle asserted, you cannot get your riding position suited to individual requirements. The manufacturer cannot turn out a machine ready for the course. It's obviously fearfully dangerous, she continued, to tackle speed work of any kind without a machine that is absolutely right for the job. In ordinary competition work, if your machine is wrong, you fall off, slowly, and probably are able to remount and carry on. But if you fall off going fast, something is bound to happen. And that brings me to a second serious objection. The fact that the lay press in dealing with sporting events always give the casualties tremendous prominence. And this is doubly true where a woman competitor is concerned. You cannot fail to have noticed that a woman rider in any event of importance has only to scratch a finger in order to evoke a glaring headline all to herself, while the poor winner of the event is given two or three lines of small type at the bottom of the paragraph. She's a real sportswoman, isn't she? That kind of thing is definitely harmful to the movement, and it is absolutely inevitable in the case of an all-women event. To give you for instance, there was a motorcycle race for women at Brooklands some 3 years ago. It was won by Miss Ruffle, who rode remarkably well and put up a fine show altogether. But nobody paid any attention to her perfectly sound performance. They were all completely engrossed in the terrifying spectacle presented by the girl who came in second and who fought her machine desperately all the way round, obviously in the greatest difficulty. Well, she is outspoken and very clear in her mind, and a very good bike rider in her day too. We go to the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, June the 20th of 1936. Magnificent Norton Velocet duel. Guthrie reverses last year's defeat, we're told. Race won by 18 seconds. More record-smashing speed raised to 87 miles per hour. Stanley Woods, a wizard again. Jimmy Guthrie on the Norton, the 39-year-old Flying Scotsman of the TT races, won the Senior Tourist Trophy yesterday in record time after a breathtaking duel with Stanley Woods, the Irish racing ace, whom he beat by the bare margin of 18 seconds. His time was 3 hours, 4 minutes, 47 seconds, a speed of 85.8 miles per hour. Thousands of people around the course watched this speed battle of the two giants of the road racing game with bated breath. This indeed was a renewal of the giant struggle between the two in last year's senior race, when Woods won by 4 seconds after a marvellous last lap of 26 minutes 10 seconds. This was smashed several times yesterday, the best performance being put up by Stanley Woods on his 6th lap, with a record of 26 minutes 2 seconds, a speed of 86.98 miles per hour. The grim battle for supremacy between Norton and Velocette, Scotsman and Irishman, overshadowed everything else in the race, and spectators were entertained to thrills such as only the TT races can show as these peerless knights of the TT careered around the world's most difficult course at 86 miles per hour. Great writing, this, Lewis. Starting his last circuit, Guthrie had an advantage of 22 seconds, but he had stopped for petrol for about 10 seconds. That's pretty fast, isn't it? And the process of slowing up and restarting had cost him more than that. Can he do it? Was the question on every lip. Not till Guthrie finished did the answer come. The Flying Scot had gallantly responded to that frantic last lap, instructions to go all out for victory, a victory which will be remembered as long as the TT races. And here we are, in 2025, remembering it. The foreign challenge of Germany and Sweden, never taken seriously for the senior race this year, petered out rather sooner than was expected, and not one foreign rider finished the race. Well, in the Examiner Friday, June the 13th, 1952, we're into the era of Jeff Duke. Duke can make TT history. It says, bid for double-double and five wins in a row. How near is the 100-mile-per-hour lap? If Jeff Duke wins today's senior TT race, the article starts, he will become 1. The second rider in TT history to complete the double-double. 2. The first rider to win 3 successive senior international TTs. 3. The first rider to win 5 successive TT international races. And 4. One of the 2 riders with the 3rd highest number of international TT wins. And he might, only might, mark you, bring TT history closer to the first 100 miles per hour lap. In achieving the first possibility, he will equal the 1932-33 feat of Stanley Woods. The second has never been done. Woods and Charlie Dodson in the 28-29 year are the 2 riders to win 2 successive seniors. Woods' double-double, making 4 successive wins, is nearest to the 3rd possibility. As for the 4th, if Duke today makes it 5 international TT wins, he equals the total of Alec Bennett, whose last victory was in the 1928 junior. Stanley Woods has most wins, with a string of 10 run-up between 1923 and 39. Second highest, the late Jim Guthrie, with 6. The Duke also stands unbeaten on the TT course since 1950, Friday, June the 9th, to be exact. In the junior, on Monday of the same week, he rode number 2 for the Norton team in his first international, and as number 2, he rode to orders to finish second to the debonair Irishman Artie Bell, now inactive, owing to race injuries. If Duke had won, then he would now have a 100% record. To come to the famous possibility of a 100 miles per hour lap, it seems most unlikely, for this year at least. And he didn't win the senior that year either, I think. He had to retire, I think, with clutch trouble. Interesting little piece as well in that article. The BBC will be broadcasting descriptions from 10:25 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. and 12 noon to 1:15 p.m. Incidentally, it says, just to make people feel better, just look at the dateline of the front page of this newspaper. Today is Friday, June the 13th. Well, that must have made everyone feel better as they started off down Bray Hill. The Examiner, Thursday, May the 15th, 1958, an exhibition of TT art. An unusual art exhibition is being held in Douglas during TT and Practice Week. John Nicholson, RI, is presenting a collection of 16 watercolours of the TT course. They will hang in the Regency Bar of the Castle Manor Hotel from next Monday, May the 19th, and they should attract a great deal of attention and interest to local residents and especially the visiting racing fraternity. John, who uses his own motorcycle as an artist's easel on these occasions, has painted the course from the rider's viewpoint in all but 3 of the collection. The pictures are of Quarterbridge, Braddonbridge, Union Mills, the Highlander, Bala, Crane, Belig, Craig Willies, Begarrow, Kirkmichael, Balaff, the approach to the Gooseneck, Guthrie's, the Mountain Mile, the Les Graham Memorial Bungalow, and Kate's Cottage. A highlight of the exhibition will be the only action painting. It's a fine study of Cecil Sandford winning last year's Golden Jubilee Lightweight TT, and shows Cecil head on. Sounds good stuff, I must admit. I didn't know he painted these. And it goes on to say, it has been largely due to the encouragement of Jock West. John decided to put on this exhibition during the race period, But it is not only at the Castle Mona Hotel that John's brushwork can be seen, for many riders will be carrying crests on their helmets, which have been finely executed by him. Little works of art, my word. For many years now, the artist has been voluntarily painting helmets for such personalities as Jeff Duke, Bob McIntyre, Bill Lomas, and many of the Commonwealth stars. Well, how wonderful. Heraldic crests on their helmets painted by the great John Nicholson. I wonder if any of those still exist. It'd be worth quite a lot of money, you'd think, wouldn't you? In the Examiner, November the 20th, 1958, the TT goes on record. Long player is unique. Long player is an LP. TT enthusiasts all over the world will be delighted to hear the news that a long player record of the senior TT has been made and will be on sale at the beginning of December. This first record of its kind in the motorcycling world will be introduced on Wednesday in London. It's been made under the Stanley Schofield label. The commentary is by Graham Walker from a script written by his son, who goes by the name of Murray Walker. Remember him? A particular feature of this record, which will appeal widely, is the engine noises, which punctuate the story of the race. However, the noises of the horse trams introduce this record, and this is followed by an explanation of the weigh-in. Great stuff. Must be a few of those knocking around still, one would think. The Examiner, Thursday, June the 4th, 1959, the next year. Press view of TT Future. The TT races will die. How often have we heard that over the years? Unless the British motorcycle industry changes its policy, writes the chief reporter Harold Pendlebury in Monday's Daily Mail. It would be the Daily Mail, wouldn't it? One of the smallest post-war crowds, he reports, saw the inevitable victory of the Italian four-cylinder projectiles over the single-cylinder British production models. And he continues, the Italian victory drove another nail in the coffin of the TT. For 50 years, the traditional show window of the British motorcycle industry. While sales of British motorcycles boom, some factories can't meet the demand. Our international prestige in motorcycle racing takes another nosedive. The crowds demand a fair chance for the men who ride for Britain, but even enthusiasts are staying away from the one-sided contests which have been a feature of the TT for the past 3 years. Far-sighted motorcycle salesmen are worried. They believe that the decline of the TT will hit the British industry, but British firms will not spend the cash that racing needs. Still here, though, of course. Keeping with the Examiner, Thursday, June the 23rd, quite a TT paper, the Examiner, 1960 now, service for TT riders. Once again, the Peel Engineering Company at the old shipyard in Mill Road. Of course, the Peel P1, the little tiny microcar they made, was a busy place during the TT races period when many TT riders came along to have their cycle fairings fitted. It's because they were making them in fiberglass, I think, wasn't it? On one occasion, there was an American, a Swede, and an Englishman there together. Sounds like the beginning of a joke. The Englishman being the junior TT winner, John Hartle, who was having one of his Nortons fitted. Staying in 1960, but the Times this time, Friday, June the 17th, an American kept his TT date. Few, if any, people watching the TT races this week, we hear, can beat 26-year-old Steve Snyder from Indianapolis for the title of number one TT fan. Arriving in the Isle of Man on Tuesday, he saw the junior race on Wednesday to fulfil a promise he made to himself 9 years ago. In 1951, when still at high school and before entering university, he made a European tour with a friend. They took in as many motorcycle and car race meetings as they could, but missed the TT. Then, towards the end of their tour, they heard of the Manx Grand Prix in the September of that year, and managed to get to the island to see these amateur races. What Steve saw then determined him to return someday to see the TT. He did not know when or how the visit would come about, for at 17 he had to think about his own future and his career. He had two main problems, time and money. Steve went back home, finished at high school and entered university. 4 years passed. Coming out of university, he began work on the sales side of a big papermaking firm. A year later, in 1957, he was called up for national service, and this lasted in the aviation branch of the US Navy for 3 years, until May the 24th this year. Steve still had the TT itch and had been working things out. He saved up leave, and when he was demobilised, he took pay for the leave he was due and added this money to what he'd saved. So at long last, he had the money and was free to make the trip to the Isle of Man. But from May the 24th, he had little time to spare. If he was going to arrive for the TT races 3 weeks later, He saved time and money by hitching the 3,000 miles from San Francisco to New York in a Navy plane. From New York he flew to Paris and had time to take in the Monte Carlo and Dutch Grand Prix car races before heading for the Isle of Man. Delay in the delivery of a motorcycle in England prevented Steve arriving for the sidecar and lightweight races on Monday, but he reached his target after 9 years on Wednesday. He watched the junior TT at Craignabar and Brandish, and today he's seeing the senior at the grandstand and other points on the course. Surely, he says, the finest natural road racing course in the world. A view still held by many, Steve, I believe. And so do I. TT, of course, always features in the papers and has done, well, for over 100 years. Or thereabouts. Enjoy your TT, whatever you're doing, the TT, new news and old news. Until next time, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.